Welcome back to the Marketing Showcase podcast coming from Bramall Lane in Sheffield today. I'm James and another guest joining us. Tell us who you are.
My name is Alex Hodgson. I'm the marketing manager at One to Call. We're a local Sheffield-based, Sheffield-born and bred IT managed services business. We've been around 20 years next year and we've grown a fair bit in that time. We're up to about 25, probably a bit more employees now.
Brilliant.
Turnover around 4 million.
This is what I like. This is Sheffield lad talking to a Sheffield lad about a Sheffield business. Yep. While we're in Sheffield. We'll just take over the marketing world now, shall we?
Should we talk about the Sheffield Derby?
We'll not talk about the Sheffield Derby. We'll skip over that. Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of this podcast recording. Thanks for joining us. All right. So we did this before. There's an episode with us. If people go back on the feed, they'll find us chatting a year ago. But just set the scene a little bit then in terms of your role and also the business and the kind of stuff that you work on.
Yeah. So like I said, we're an IT managed services business. I mean, we use that phrase. I think for a lot of people, it doesn't really mean much. I think it's more of an internal phrase. The reason we need to find something new. We would traditionally say IT support, but IT support for some people is like, oh, my computer's broken. I phone up, they fix it. And that sort of break fix model is just not adequate for modern business world with all the issues with cybersecurity. And just reliability and need to be always on, like internet always on, file sharing always on, cloud always on. So that requires an approach which is more proactive. So that's what basically managed services is, and that's what we're up to.
What about your day-to-day role and what you work on?
Well, I'm the marketing manager, so it's my job to make sure people in our target markets know who we are and know what we do and know that we're here to help. Over your shoulder are my two colleagues, Jamie and Nick. So we've added a few roles recently. We've got a permanent content creator now, which is, for a business of our size, I think is a little bit bold, but we need it. You know, we need to be generating content. Jamie works a lot on the website. In the last year, we've done a sort of full rebrand. And if anything, in the last year or 2 years or even more, we've sort of gone back to basics a little bit, and that's why, like I said, we're coming to 20 years old and we've grown a lot and we're sort of reaching a different size, and so that's why we've sort of been redefining ourselves from scratch. So whilst you may have seen our banners around Bramall Lane and Hillsborough and a few other areas, we're not going massive at the minute on stuff just because we're still getting to the end of that process.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, 4 million turnover you mentioned.
About, roughly.
Managing the kind of marketing output for a business of that kind of size, that kind of scale. What are the upshots? What are the downsides?
Well, what I've found is, so basically I've been, overall, I think I spent maybe 9 or 10 years at One to Call. I've been back a year after being away at a different business for 3 years. And the difference between when I was at One to Call previously and now are quite stark, really. And it's to do with reaching that size. And I think the point at which I left, I think the directors, Nick and Danny, were realising that they would reach that size where you can't just run it the same way you've always run. To reach a certain size where you've just got to build stuff out, you've got to have a more managerial layer, because the guys at the top just can't see everything. It's as simple as that. You can't see and do everything. And I think for a lot of businesses, you start out with that control, and that sort of is what your brand is. So your leaders are your brand. And what we want to do is to keep that, because they're definitely still a core part of who the business is. But like I say, they've had to transition to more leadership and bring more managers like myself and some of my other colleagues in finance and on the service desk and installation teams in. So you, even though you might start off going, we're never going to have loads of managers and we're going to keep it all flat and we're all cool and we all love each other, at a certain point, just to make things function, you have to have these extra layers. But what that does give you is a little bit of space to take the time to do the things that you, as a marketer, might have always wanted to do in terms of proper strategic planning and things like that, which when you're a scruffy sort of upstart, you're just sort of making it up day to day and just trying to develop momentum, and you see something that works and you chase that. So it's a totally different beast, and I think that's why we've kind of gone back to basics and done our strategy from scratch, and that's what we're sort of nearing the end of that process now.
How much easier, and I don't know if that's the right phrase, because I don't think any of us sit there and think, God, I wish everything was just easier. But yeah. You mentioned that you've kind of been through a pretty extensive rebrand. So the other episode that we recorded earlier on this morning, I said, obviously AI still dominates most kind of conversations to do with marketing. Yeah. But I can really see brands sort of starting to rival that this year. Yeah. There'll be a lot of talk about brand and a lot of people getting some clarity in terms of where they sit and their identity and who they are. So I'm just interested as to how that's changed your role, or maybe how that's changed the direction of the marketing output, you know, having that clarity about who you are.
I think having gone through the process, it's been really helpful, useful, going through the process and going through the process with an external agency, because they did a really good job of sort of facilitating that process, and also sort of, because we did it as an entire business, it wasn't like marketing led in that respect, because they realized that the business owners and directors realized it is a top to bottom thing. And I think the fact we all went through that process together and were coaxed through that together and built all the information together, it puts on a really strong footing, because everyone in the business understands what that is, why the brand exists, and why we've defined it in the way we have. That doesn't necessarily make it any easier to put it into practice, and that's what we're feeling our way through at the minute as a small team, is we've got these definitions of who our target markets are, who our brand is, what our brand voice is, but then when it comes to delivering it, because there's so many different things you want to cover, different social channels and business events like this, how do you put that into practice is what we're learning as we go, really, at the minute. So to an extent, we've done some really sort of classic marketing, corporate level stuff, but in the delivery, we've still got that benefit, I suppose, of being in charge of our own destiny to try, fail, learn, redo. So we have still, I suppose, got a little bit of that sort of scrappiness about us in that respect.
I like that. You've used the phrase I think probably a couple of times regarding kind of going back to basics. Yeah. Kind of a phrase you've used a couple of times. So for kind of, you know, people listening to this who are in the marketing world and maybe in a similar kind of sort of situation, what do you think is the single most important foundational strategy or audit that an established business has got to execute when they realize they're moving out of that category of being kind of plucky little small business into that next level up?
Well, I mean, the process that we've done, I mean, I'm talking about as we've grown in size, but we're still not a big company with like infinite resource. So the process we went through was still sort of a light process, in that we went through all the bits you'd need for a business and marketing strategy and just sort of pick what are the core things that we need to do, and sort of late-ish on in that stage, probably later than we should have done, we came to USPs, and I ran a session on defining USPs. I said, I want to have three USPs that we can go to market with. I don't really care what they are, but they need to be unique selling points. We did a session, and in the session we all had ideas. We had people in there who talked to our customers every day. So we're getting to, what do customers think? What do people say to us? Blah, blah, blah. And we came out with these three USPs. And I documented it, put it away, and did my other job for a bit. And then when I came back to it, I looked at it and I was like, these are rubbish. They weren't unique. They were sort of nothing, really. And what I realized is you can sort of wag your own tail a little bit when you're in a room with people in the business. Everyone going, yeah, we're great at this, we do that. But just because you're good at something doesn't mean it's unique. And so really drilling down on USPs, it's probably taken us from that meeting about 6 months, because it required us to build USPs. So not just say, what do we do that is better than everyone else? Because in a lot of cases, I mean, this is true, I've worked at a lot of businesses now. If you're just doing day-to-day stuff, a lot of what you do is not unique. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might have to build something unique. And you'll spend time doing something unique and then someone else will do it. So you've got to be flexible. But we've now got three, I think, strongish USPs. I'll find out when we go to market with them. We're finalizing it still. We've got them defined, but we need to embed them. now because we built them. So it's not something I'm going to be talking extensively about here. But like, one is a guarantee-based USB. So one's a guarantee. One is a piece of technology, so a tech feature that we think is fairly unique. And one is service-based. So hopefully within that, we've got a sort of spread there. And the other thing, what the final one we came to was a service one. And it's sort of something we're already doing that we've always done that we didn't realise was unique. And someone else came into the business and was like, oh, do you know that no one else does this? And we're like, no, we just kind of sort of figured we do it, so I figured everyone else does it. So sometimes you don't have to develop them. They can be under your nose. But the core thing is you've got to really drill down and be serious with yourself and say, is this unique? Look, we talked about AI earlier. I used AI to challenge the USPs and look at the environment and scan people's websites and say, are other people doing this? So that really helped save me a couple of 10 grand on market research.
It sounds like in some ways it's almost a slightly uncomfortable process to go through that, because you would... Every business would like to think, oh, we're really clear on what makes us unique and who we are. So kind of sitting there going, we need to come up with some things and build some uniqueness.
Well, the thing to push
is almost showing a little bit of vulnerability, isn't it?
And I think people just... It's the you in USP is the important thing. And I think when we had that first meeting, I think perhaps everyone else in the room, and maybe myself as well, just thought, what are three good things that we do? And the point is to say, it's not, you can be really good at something, but if 20 other businesses locally are also really good at it, you just blend into the trees. So just being really good is not enough, I suppose. But to come sort of full circle back to it, the reason I think USP is so important is, and I said, well, USPs can become less unique, but if it's a great starting base and it makes the rest of your marketing so much easier. Because if you haven't got them, which in the past I haven't had, every time you're producing a bit of content or doing something, you're sort of trying to push back up that stream to be like, oh, well, that's not that great a claim. So you're always at a disadvantage because you haven't got that, or you're not confident with that uniqueness. So you're trying to overdo things elsewhere. If you start with that uniqueness and you're confident with it, that if we think this, we're unique in this respect, then you say, well, just keep telling people that. Just keep going on about that, because if it is unique... And it is useful as well. It needs to be something people want. Then people will come.
I love that. And a lot of it just sounds like it really helps get some clarity as well. And there's a lot to be said for that. But it also sounds like you've got to be prepared maybe to take two or three steps back before you can take a step forward on stuff like that. And it can be a difficult process. And I think that's a really good takeaway. Any advice for any... any businesses, that's quite a high level question, but certainly any people who are working in the marketing department at the moment where maybe they're struggling with this a little bit and sort of thinking, listening to this thinking, I don't know if we've got that clarity on what really is the uniqueness of what we do.
It's really tough, and especially for marketers in smaller businesses where you might be on your own, you can often just be talking to people who don't even understand what you're trying to say. And also what you're asking the rest of the business is to completely... restructure the business sometimes, and like it's like a fund. So it's just something, if you're saying, oh, we're not different enough, we need to be more different, that's a hard thing for people to hear, especially if your business is going well, you're doing okay. So it's really tough. I don't really have any sort of solution on that, because like I think that from my point of view, the directors reach their own conclusions in their own time. So I might have been going on about these things previously and not being heard. But eventually, as we were growing, you get too many growing pains. And I think we reached a point where like, oh, right, I get it. We have to become a different type of company as we move up. But like, today's my 46th birthday. I've been around a long time. And I've worked in lots of different businesses. And in every single one of those, whenever there's been an issue, it's all just gone back to marketing fundamentals. And the same marketing fundamentals I studied when I was 21, pretty much. Like other things, AI and social media can come along, but they're just sort of window dressing on top. They're just ways you communicate. Those fundamentals, the however many P's there are these days, and and your matrixes and stuff like that. It's just that. Just do that. And if you get, then things like this event today are what helped me get back to those things, because you have other people saying, oh, it's the basics,
yep,
or it's the underlying thing, or oh, here's the thing, and it helps you remember, right, okay, I need to go, you know, stick to that few basic core things and make those good and build on top of that foundation, and everything else is easier.
Well said. 46th birthday, happy birthday. You didn't know we were going to do this, but I have got a birthday kit. No, I'm lying, I haven't really.
Well.
But many happy returns. If anyone's listening to this that wants to either follow up with you, or I know because your face pops up on my LinkedIn feed quite a lot that you are producing more and more content, and
yep,
particularly kind of video stuff where I keep seeing you popping up.
Yeah.
So if anyone does want to connect with you, LinkedIn the best place?
If you want, you could connect with me on LinkedIn, by all means. We just relaunched. We posted another TikTok video for the first time in about 5 years. We had this old dormant TikTok channel. So we're on TikTok now. If you search, the important thing is one to call is the word one, the number two, and then the word call. So if you search for that on the web or in LinkedIn or Instagram, TikTok, we are on X, but we don't really post that much to that. On any of those channels, you'll find us. But please do and follow us, because we are doing more and more content and we're trying different things. And so if you're a marketer, it might be interesting to follow to see how we get on with that.
Brilliant. Alex, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Same time next year.
Yeah, so next year. See you then.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.